Welcome to our City Gate Atlanta podcast. We trust you will be blessed by these messages and invite you to join us anytime as we worship the Lord and seek to walk in the fullness of His purposes and destiny for our generation. Information about our gathering times and various ministries may be found at www.citygateatlanta.org.
What are you doing with what I have given to you? So, Lord, help us to see, help us to comprehend, and help us to move forward in a greater measure of faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Lord said to me, "So what are you doing with all I've given you? What are you doing with all I've given you?" Sobering question, isn't it? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That's Ephesians 4:7. Have you stopped to consider that if grace was given according to Christ's gift, think about the measure of that gift. Grace isn't given according to your capacity. It's given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, somebody ought to go, whoa, on that one. I mean, have you thought about the measure of Christ's gift? That God chose to bankrupt heaven so that you and I might be in a relationship with our Father? He gave the best, the most, the highest for you, for me. He gave grace according to the measure of His gift. Wow. Just let that sink in. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. There's nothing that compares with the grace of God. So what is grace? We all grew up learning that grace was God's unmerited favor. It was God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, back it up one. We're trying to, nope, forward one, two, right there, nope. This is going to be a challenge. It's all good. There's one line there I want. I can read it from here. I wrote this down. God's free action for the benefit of humanity. And it is something we cannot earn and we do not deserve. But see, I don't even think that really gets it. See, grace really is God's divine enablements for us to be and to do according to His good pleasure. See, that's a whole lot more than Christ, than for our understanding. It says God's riches at Christ's expense. But I think sometimes we use phrases like that and it's like, oh yeah. But when you consider that God's riches are His divine enablements for you to live and to be and to do what He has already said. It's His grace for you to return not to Genesis 3 under the curse, but to return to Genesis 1 under the divine mandate of go and take dominion. Go and rule. Go and walk in the garden in the cool of the day with the Lord your God. See, that's what grace does. Grace involves the gifts you've been given, both spiritual and natural. Because everything that we have is by grace. Do you have anything that's apart from grace? Really? That we get up in the morning and we breathe is grace. Everything is grace. Your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your relationships. See, I look at every single one of y'all in this room, and the relationship I have with you is a grace gift from the throne. It's a grace gift. He didn't have to put us into relationship with each other, but His grace says, this is a gift. It will delight your soul. This is a gift. It will cause you to grow and be more and more like me. This is a gift. By this relationship, you're going to be able to see more of my kingdom come on earth. That's a grace gift. What about the impartations you've received over the years? Those are graces. It's a expression of God's grace that He has somebody come along, lay hands on you, and impart to you some spiritual gift. Isn't that awesome? I mean, and Timothy was told by Paul, go stir up those gifts that were given to you by the laying on of hands. What about your resources? Sometimes we look at our checking account and go, well, I don't have a whole lot. But you've got something. You've got something. Our church isn't being blown up tonight. I mean, that's grace. What about the training you've received? The opportunities you have in the business world, the opportunities you have to serve someone else, the opportunities you have to pray for somebody, the opportunity you have just to come and sit by next to somebody when they're going through a rough time. That's a grace gift. It is what He's given us. Grace is God's divine enablement to be and to do according to His good pleasure. Grace is God's gifts, abilities, opportunities, relationships, resources, and impartations. And you could probably add other things to that list. Freely given for His glory, for His purposes, and for our good. See, God doesn't just give us all these things for His glory and His good. He gives it because He says, this is for your good. He loves us so much. So that as we walk in covenant relationship with Christ our head and with one another. See, sometimes we just look at grace as we relate to God. But we, in this hour, God is wanting to shift us from simply looking vertical, which is our primary, but He wants us looking horizontal. He is taking us from being simply individual believers and followers of Christ into understanding what it means to move as the body. He's breaking individuality off of us. And what I mean by that is He wants you to be individually just who you are and celebrate it. But sometimes in our individuality, in our independence of individuality, we go, well, I can do this by myself. Let me just give you a wake-up call. You can't do anything by yourself. And I'm going to tell you this. In this hour, what you could do in the last season by yourself, you're not going to be able to do in the new season by yourself. Part of what I believe a new weapon in this new season is the power of corporiety. The power of a corporate body, of being linked together with every joint supplying what is needed that causes growth of the whole in love. That's a part of what we have to move into. We've heard it said for years that Lone Rangers don't work. We're finding out right now they don't work. We proclaimed it. Now we're getting to experience just how bad that can be. You see, He gives grace to us so that we might fulfill our assignments. See, your individual assignment is important, but your individual assignment pursued outside of corporate relationship can be dangerous and destructive. Absolutely. Can take you out. And the deal is, not only can it take you out, it means that the part of the body that you've been assigned to be a part of, if you're not divinely connected by the submission of your own heart, that means that part of the body is missing what you would bring to it. We have to learn how to look at each other, not with, well, I could do what they do better. But we've all been there. Let's just get real. Or I could do without. Or why should I try because they can do it so much better than me? We can fall into any of those categories and then some. But see, God's saying, you know what? If you connect to each other, the grace that is in you connects to the grace that is in the next person, and all of a sudden it goes exponentially greater. It's not, it goes from addition to multiplication. We need some multiplication. In Acts 1 and 2, there was grace given to the early church to tarry until they were endued with power from on high. To do what? To be witnesses. They were given grace to speak in other tongues, grace to preach to the masses. Peter was, anyway. He was given grace to be saved and grace to live in community. At the end of Acts 2, it says that they came together and gave themselves what? To the apostles' doctrine, to communion, to prayer, and to breaking of bread. There had to be grace, because let me just tell you something. When we first pursue trying to live in community together, has anybody else noticed that we get on each other's nerves? I mean, I'm just being real. I mean, I'm not going to ask you for it, but I probably get on your nerves. Not yet. I like it. She's honest. Because, see, when we really get into living in community, we have to get over our big bad self. We have to extend grace to one another. But, see, they were given grace to live together in community. And in one of the other chapters of Acts, it says, and there was no selfishness among them. They didn't clamor for something out of selfish ambition. They didn't clamor for a place. They didn't, if they saw somebody that needed something, they didn't go, well, if I give that to them, then I won't have. They said, I've got it. I can share it. It wasn't an entitlement of the person in need. It was a generosity of the one with. Do you hear the difference? It's a huge difference. Because, see, we can't live in an entitlement mindset, but when we're all pursuing and pressing into God together and living in community and honoring one another, preferring one another in love, bringing everything we have to the body, then when somebody's missing something, it's not an entitlement to give them. It is a generosity and a blessing to share what we have. That's where God's wanting us to move to in this expression of grace among the body. In Acts 3, it says, Peter and John had grace to give what they possessed. What did Peter and John have? What did they have? They had the Holy Spirit. Who have you got living inside of you? There's a lame man sitting at the gate, beautiful. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk. See, they understood what was on the inside of them. God had given them grace. And they said, you know what? I don't have anything in my pockets. I've got the power of the resurrected Christ living on the inside of me, and I'm going to give of that to you. I'm going to give to you what I have. See, I believe we've got to shift from asking God for grace. Now, just follow me for a minute. To do what he's already given us grace to do. See, I think sometimes we're asking God to give us something and he says, I've already given it to you. And I'm not going to give you something else if you're not doing something with what I've already given you. He's already given it to us. I want you to be awakened to what is on the inside of you. I've told this story before, but when I was walking the streets of New York many years ago, probably 25 years ago, walked by a man on the sidewalk who was bundled up in an army blanket, hat on, ratty old gloves, little tin can and a sign. I can still see it like it was yesterday. He said, "I'm an army vet and I'm dying of AIDS." And I heard in my spirit, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, rise up and walk." And I stood there and I looked at him. And I said, "Lord, I don't have what it takes to do that." And I wept. Because I know that what I believed was not true. Because if Holy Spirit prompted it in me, then he knew I had the grace on the inside. I didn't know how to tap into it. I didn't have the faith to tap into what he already said was there. See, I think this is one of the deals that is the biggest issue in the American church. We think we've got grace enough to get to heaven, but we have not yet comprehended we have grace enough to live victorious. We have grace enough to have the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord release his mighty hand of power through us to heal. We still go through this mind argument thing of, "Well, I'm not gifted that way." Excuse me. Is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling inside? You know, I think we're not getting a lot of signs, wonders, and miracles because we're not stepping out and activating the grace that's in us to pray for somebody. I want us to do something with the grace he's given. I don't want it to be wasted. It could be wasted. And see, this man, after they laid hands on him, they said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." What did he do? He received grace and he went dancing and leaping and singing and went straight into the temple to study the word of God. Go read it. And he clung to Peter and John. He didn't want to get away from them. He wanted to stay. I could go on a trail right here. I'm going to go there. We have people who say they come to Jesus in a meeting and they raise their hand and "I've accepted Jesus," and then you never see them again. I don't see that evidence in the scriptures. I don't see it. I don't like the raise your hand and accept Jesus routine. Confess me before men. When a baby is born, that baby's hungry. That baby wants to eat. "Feed me, feed me, feed me." When you're born again of the Spirit, there should be evidence in you that you're hungry. If you're not hungry for the Word, if you're not hungry for the presence of God, if you're not hungry for communion with the body, you need to be saying, "God, what's going on? Is it oppression that's pressing down the life of God in me? If so, let's get some help and get the oppression off of you and out of you." But I think in the church of America, the question on many places needs to be, have you been born again? Or have you simply come to a mental assent that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God? There's a preacher back in the 60s and 70s named Major Ian Thomas, and he used to call that the awakened soul, not the regenerated born-again spirit. I think we got a lot of people with an awakened soul without having a born-again spirit. Somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, "Do you consider yourself a missionary?" And I sat there for a minute and I went, yes, to the church. I'm a missionary to the church. And then here I'm a bit preaching to the choir, but here's what I'm doing. I'm activating the grace inside you to go out and be a missionary to the church or to the whoever it is you're called to. Because if you're not activated and you're not moving in it, you won't ever do anything with the grace God gave his own life for. God help us. Peter had grace to proclaim the truth as they saw this man leaping and praising God. He called them to truth. See, sometimes there are people that come to Christ and there are onlookers that need to have somebody with the boldness to say, this is what just happened here. Let me explain to you what just happened. The grace of God just hit this person. The grace of God just healed this one. The grace of God just delivered this one from oppression. The grace of God just snatched this one out of the jaws of hell. Receive the grace and activate the grace to proclaim what it is he has said. Then Peter and John were given grace to preach even in the face of persecution. Because the religious were not happy, because he dared to heal on the Sabbath. What are you thinking? So they brought them before and they were persecuting them. They were telling them, you can't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. You're not allowed to do that anymore. And here's their response. Well, whether we should obey you or not, you decide. But for us, we have to obey the Lord. See, are we willing to do that? See, I think that's what happened in Pakistan. You guys decide whether we should obey you or not. But as for us, we're going to serve the Lord our God. See, we're watching this happen all over the world. I'm here as a messenger to you today. What are you doing with the grace on the inside? So if somebody comes to you and says, you can't say the name of Jesus, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Jesus. See, as Americans in the workplace and in the schools and everything else, we have for the last 30 or 40 years backed up and said, well, it's the separation of church and state. Let me tell you something. It is not in the Constitution. That is a lie that was fabricated by the enemy trying to shut us down. And unfortunately, they did a really good job about it. And now it's time for us to say, whether we should obey you or not, you decide. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And I'm going to proclaim the name of Jesus. See, you've got to be ready to answer your accusers. You've got to be willing to embrace the grace to speak with confidence. See, they would speak and they go, aren't these uneducated Galileans? Just uneducated. But they knew they had been in the presence of the Lord. See, there's no shame in being uneducated. Not according to the gospel. Not according to the book of Acts. The shame is in not embracing the grace God's given us. Embrace the grace. They had grace to stand no matter the consequences. See, when they stood before their accusers and they said, you decide, they made a decision in that moment, no matter what you decide, I'm not wavering. No matter, I'm not wavering. I'm staying true to the call. They had grace to press in for more. Isn't this amazing? This is toward the end of Acts chapter 4. And they've gone through the persecution. They've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They've been out. They've seen this man healed. They've gone through the persecution again. And here they are. And they go, God grant us more grace. See, they had been moving in the grace they had. They weren't sitting back. They were moving. See, I think the unlocking of more grace is through the process of activation and using of the grace that we have. To just sit back and go, well, I can't do signs and wonders until I get mega grace, is squandering the grace that we currently have. Let's just press on for more. So now, Lord, this has become one of my favorite passages. So now, Lord, listen to their threats to harm us and empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously. Stretch out your hand of power through us to heal and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy Son, Jesus. Are you being opposed? Are you being opposed at home? Are you being opposed at work? Are you being opposed on the inside? Are you walking in the grace God's given you to this point and you're still being opposed? Because let me tell you something, as you operate in the grace, you will be opposed. Press in for greater grace. Press in for greater grace. It's there for us. Acts 4, 32 and 31 says, all the believers were one in mind and heart. This is where it sells it. Selfishness was not a part of their community. God help us. For they shared everything they had with one another. The apostles gave powerful testimonies about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great measures of grace rested on them. Didn't just rest on a few, rested on them all, but they were in community. So what we have to do first is receive grace. Recognize you've received grace. Ephesians 4, 7 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We looked at that at the beginning. In the voice, it says it this way. This God has given to each of us grace in what? Full measure. According to the anointed's gift. Now, the anointed is a big gift. Jesus is a big gift. He's given you grace in full measure. Full measure. Next slide. We also have to exercise grace. Now, I've got an exercise bike downstairs that I was doing really, really good at until my ankle started bothering me again. Then my son moved home. Then I got all kinds of excuses, right? They were legitimate. But that thing is not doing me a bit of good with it sitting in my basement if I don't get on it and exercise on it. But see, we all have gifts. That exercise bike was a gift for my birthday last year. So I was given a gift. And it was for my good. I asked for it. It was for my good, but it's not doing me any good. There's a point to this. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to what? Exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. What has God given you? What has God given you? Where is he asking you to exercise it? Is it in your basement? Pumping the pedals? What do I mean by that? Is it in the quiet place of preparation? Because if you've got a gift of teaching, you may not be activated yet to teach in front of a group. But that gift still gets exercised in the quiet place. You may not be prophesying out, but you listen, you write, you journal, you pray, you test it against the word of God. You share it with somebody. Am I really hearing? You may have a gift of giving, but you go, well, I don't have a whole lot to give. Give out of what you have with wisdom. convinced, folks, that the reason we, as a small congregation, were able to cover the majority of the expense for the Lord Alderdice meeting downtown is because of the principle of generosity and giving. And it unlocked it. It just unlocked it. It also was unlocked because of the gift of faith on Kevin and Rose's part. Because they got the flight and came knowing that God said go, even though they didn't have the money to pay for the flight, but they trusted God to provide. They've got a gift of faith. We don't all have that same measure of a gift of faith. They do. I've watched them for 10 years live it. God supernaturally releasing provision time and time and time again. What is the measure of the grace gift God's given you that you need to be activating, that you need to be doing something with? Don't wait until you get called up front. Because sometimes that grace gift is not even for inside these four walls. See, a prophetic gift may be sitting at the restaurant and your waiter comes along and you hear Holy Spirit say, they're really hurting. Ask them if you can pray for them. That can be that prophetic gift getting activated. Then you pray for them. You release the word of God. You release the love of God. That's activating that gift. The teacher sitting at that same restaurant engages in a conversation, and the person asks a question about something in the word of God. And in a 2-minute explanation, can unlock the understanding because the teacher gift has been prepared. You see, it's not, we've got to shift out of it being about here. We got to shift out of it being inside these four walls. What this is for is to activate, train, and send you out to do according to the gift that he's placed in you, the grace that he's placed in you. Then we have to steward grace. Ephesians 3:2 says, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. This is Paul, and Paul has been given the apostleship to go to these people. Now, he could have been given that gift, called, anointed, appointed, sent, and he could have chosen to stay home. Because his free will didn't just all of a sudden get trumped. Is this making sense? But he had to steward the gift that was given to him. He had to move into, okay, God's given me this gift. I'm going to nurture. I'm going to care for it. I'm going to make sure I distribute properly. That word steward means the management of a household or of a household affairs. In this context, it is the management of that which God has given you to steward. What's God given you? He's given you a home to steward. Whether you live in a house or an apartment, or whether you're single or you're married, you got kids at home or you got grandkids, you have a stewardship over that sphere of authority that God has placed you over. So stewardship has to do with caring for the assignment that God has given you for the release of that gift. Beverly has a stewardship in this house to help manage the intercession. She does an excellent job. She does an excellent job. And the more she stewards it, the more that increase comes. Because if you don't steward what God's given you, it doesn't increase. See, we've watched Farnese over the last several months step into a new stewardship over worship, and it has helped to move our entire worship to a new level prophetically. if she had not stepped in to steward that according to the grace that was in her, that then has multiplied. And then all these others that are a part of the worship brought theirs to that stewardship. There's been a multiplication. But see, we have to steward it. We have to manage it. We have to administrate it. See, sometimes stewardship is just mundane. Let me just tell you that. Because it's just administration. Sometimes it's just making sure somebody is here to open the door. Sometimes it's the administration of just making sure we have somebody on the keys and somebody on the vocals and somebody on the PowerPoint and somebody on the sound. Somebody to bring waters in. Okay? There's that administration. But if we don't administer that and you leave it to happenstance, guess what? It's not going to happen. And then it'll just be loosey-goosey all over the place. This is the difference between, well, we're just going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Holy Spirit means you administrate, you steward it so that you create an atmosphere and have the pieces in place so that Holy Spirit can move because everybody's in their place to do and bring their gift. See, true administration releases freedom. It's not rigid. It sets a stage for a release of all of God's goodness to come forth. I've administrated conferences for 25 years, from little ones to big ones. My goal on administrating, stewarding, if you will, a conference is to set an atmosphere so when people walk in the door, they don't have to worry about the stuff. They simply can come in and receive. So that things move smoothly. So when they walk in a door, they are greeted with grace. They're greeted with an embrace. That they are received and have a freedom to both receive and to give out of the abundance of what Christ has given them. See, I really believe stewardship is creating an atmosphere so that people can receive. I don't want people to worry about little mundane stuff when they walk in the door. I don't want them distracted. I want them to know this is here, this is here, this is here. Then they don't have to worry about it. But see, what is that administration of your gift that God's asking you for? The next one. Stewarding grace also is in Ephesians 3, 7, and 8. It's a servant by grace. I became a servant and a preacher of the gospel by the gift of God's grace as he exercised his amazing power over me. I cannot think of anyone more unworthy to this cause than I, the least of the least of the saints. But here I am, a grace-made man, privileged to be an echo of his voice and a preacher to all the nations of the riches of the Anointed One, riches that no one ever imagined. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. Galatians 5:13, brothers and sisters, God has called you to freedom. Say freedom. Hear the call and do not spoil this gift by using your liberty to engage in what the flesh desires. Instead, use it to serve each other as Jesus taught through love. See, that right there will totally counter the false grace message that's out in the country right now. Because there's a lot of the grace message right now that is using grace as a license, a liberty to sin. Grace is given to empower you to serve the purposes of God. It's exactly the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. That word servant is diakonos. It's one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master, a servant, attendant, or a minister. It's the servant of the king. One who cares for the poor, for the people in the church, for the has charge and distributes the money collected. One who waits on another. Let me just say this about all of us. We're all servants according to grace. Any leader that is not first a servant isn't truly a leader. Just not. We have to serve one another. Because it's a servant by grace. You can't do what you do apart from grace. If you think you can do it in your own ability, then you're not operating by grace, and you need to just stop until you can tap into grace. Just stop until you tap into grace. To serve is to be a slave. I want to be a slave to His purposes. I want to be a bondservant. I want to live as a bondservant of the Most High God. I want to live a life of obedience and submission to Him, knowing that whatever He asks of us, of me, of you, it's good. It's really good. Because He won't ever ask something of you that's not good. Can it be difficult? Yes. Absolutely. But see, I believe God grants grace to go through difficult seasons in order for us to be made more and more into the likeness of who He is. I don't like tough seasons any more than the rest of you. I've just learned how to celebrate them. I've learned how to celebrate the tough times because I know if God's allowing me to go through a really, really narrow, tough place, it's because He wants to work something out of me in order to work something into me so that there might be a greater release of His grace and power. And if I resist, then I am cutting myself off from the very grace of God that He has available. Don't do that. By the mercies of God, don't resist. Next slide. 1 Peter 4:10 in the New American Standard says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In the Voice it says, use whatever gift you've received for the good of one another so that you can show yourself to be what? Good stewards of God's grace in all its varieties. Be a servant so that you can be a good steward. Keep going. See, a steward is one who manages, administrates, oversees for whatever has been given into your charge by another for gain, for protection, and for good. And to serve is to do the service of another by obedience and submission. That another that we're serving is the King of Glory. And at times, His delegated authorities in our life, but ultimately, it's Him. So, back it up one. I can't read my paper. It's too little. Whoops. Let's see if I can find it. No. I'll just get it from here. Serve as a steward of the grace you have been given. Serve as a steward of the grace you have been given. For the glory of the King. But then we have to cultivate grace. How many of you grew up around agriculture? I mean, my dad was in agriculture. In fact, his birthday's tomorrow. He'll be 80. I bought him a t-shirt that says agricultural engineering. And I can't remember exactly how it says it, but it talks about how it is, it's not a job, but it's a survival for the apocalypse. And I thought, you know what, that just so totally fits my dad because he thinks, you know, it all comes and goes, and he's right. But there's a lot of lessons that we can learn through cultivation. My grandfather had a cornfield up on the upper 40, literally, it was the upper 40, and I would go out there in wonder, just in awe of these rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of corn. The best sweet corn ever. I'm just telling you, it was delicious. But he had to go up there with the tractor and the plow and plow it all up and get the big rocks out. And every year, how do more rocks get in there every year? But there's always more rocks. They have to plow it. They have to set the rows. Then he'd go out there and he would put the seed down. And then while it's coming up, he'd have to go and weed it. And watch out for the crows. And make sure that these precious little plants that were coming up wouldn't get picked off, wouldn't get choked out. He had to cultivate that field. But it was worth it because in the end, that one seed would produce a stalk that would have a bunch of ears of corn on it that had a bunch of seed. And rows and rows and rows and rows of corn. We ate corn all the time. It was great. But see, we need to be cultivating the soil of our heart so that the seeds of grace that we've received don't get choked out. So that they produce a mighty harvest. Psalm 37:3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness." See, we've got to cultivate. We've got to tend to. We've got to feed. We've got to shepherd with faithfulness what God's given us. I think sometimes we lose the grace because we just don't do anything with it. You know, I used to play the keyboard. You know what? I don't play a whole lot anymore because I haven't cultivated it. Because I have a different assignment is the main reason. But I can sit down and play a little bit, but I can't play like I did because I haven't cultivated it. I haven't worked on it. You have to work and cultivate what God's given you. The next slide. Ezekiel 48:19 says, "The workers of the city out of the tribes of Israel shall cultivate it." Can I say to us, the workers of the city of Atlanta shall cultivate it. What are we doing to cultivate the soil of this city? That word cultivate there is to work, to serve, to till, to labor, to be led, or enticed to serve. So I'm going to entice you to serve. What are you doing to cultivate the soil to receive the grace of God in this city? Intercession. Building relationships. Serving people. There's all kinds of ways. Psalm 104:4 says, "He makes grass to grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth." Again, that word is labor, service, or work. There is a measure of cultivating grace that is just plain, good old-fashioned work. If you've got the grace of intercession, and the Lord said he was releasing a great grace, greater grace of intercession on this house, we have to cultivate it. That means there's a greater grace for us to cultivate it. There is a measure of God's grace for us to serve in intercession, for us to work in intercession, for us to spend time. God, what is your strategy? See, we have to cultivate it. You can't just expect it to come and go, got it. Sometimes that'll happen, like in a Saul going on the road to Damascus. Grace poured out. He saw a bright light. But do you know, even in the seeing the bright light and even seeing the Lord, if he had not followed his instructions and responded to the grace gift, it would not have produced the fruit in his life that it was intended. It could have been lost. I don't want what God's giving us to be lost. Cultivate is to prepare for use, the raising of crops, to foster the growth of something, to improve by labor, care, or study. See, some of your gifts need to be improved by labor, care, and study. See, if you're gifted in the prophetic, You've got a grace for the prophetic. Study the prophetic. Read books on the prophetic. I'm mentoring a young man in Pittsburgh by phone because he's growing in the prophetic. I'm giving him books to read, and then we're discussing it because I'm saying, I want you to get this into you. I don't want you just to, because he's incredibly gifted. I don't want you just to go on your gift. I want you to cultivate that gift so that it comes into maturity. See, we're not going to be able to just live by our gifting. God's requiring maturity in every area of our lives. So cultivate that gift, whatever it is. If it's giving, cultivate that. God, okay, I've got faith to give. Okay, I'm going to give my tithe because that's a done deal. But I want to develop so I'm giving more than my tenth. How would you have me cultivate that? And he may say, give $5 more in the year. I don't know what your economic state is. You understand what I'm saying? But cultivate. Ask him, how do I cultivate this? How can I multiply my resources so that I can give according to the measure of faith you've put inside of me? But you've got to cultivate it to get there. Is that making sense? Whatever your gift is. Next one. In cultivating, you have to plow up the fallow ground, the hardness of heart. Plow up the unbelief and the judgments. You walk through life long enough, you're going to have some hard places in your life that we just have to keep plowing up. We have to keep saying, okay, God, I'm coming back to you again and again to plow up this hard place in my life. We have to pull up the weeds of fear, doubt, and insecurities. I believe one of the things that chokes out more grace gift than anything else is insecurity. We don't really know who we are in Christ. We don't really understand the grace gift that's been given us. We have to water the seeds of grace. Water it how? With the Word of God, through worship and prayer. Pray in the Spirit. I'm going to challenge you. I've done this before, but I'm going to challenge you to pray in the Spirit at least 15 minutes a day. And I really want to say an hour. It will stir up the grace gift that's on the inside of you. Most of you drive to work and probably drive at least 15 minutes to an hour. You can crank up your worship music in the background if you want to. If it's not going to distract you, just sing along with it, like it does some of us. I'm just being honest, it does. I can put instrumental and I'm good. But if I put on words, I'm singing. So put something on or nothing on and go to praying in tongues the whole time you're in the car. It's one good way to do it. It'll help protect you. I was glad I was praying in tongues on my way here today. Otherwise, I might have been in real trouble. Go see the front end of my car. A thing flew up off of the road, and it actually hit my windshield. Scared the you-know-what out of me. But I was praying. And I'm convinced it could have hit and come straight through on me. In Atlanta traffic, pray in the Spirit. But we also water the seeds of grace by our communion with one another. And by sharing in Holy Communion. See, the grace in me gets built up when I hang out with you guys. When I get to hear the stories of grace in your life and I hear the way God's moving and we just spend time together. It cultivates, it waters the seeds of grace. Because I hear some of you tell a testimony of what God did in your life this week, and it fuels faith on the inside of me. And I know it does the same thing for you. But I also have to give you a warning about the dangers of choking off grace. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They choked off the grace that was available to them by pride and presumption. They wanted to be known like the others who were giving everything. They were not required to be giving everything. But they saw the esteem that was, and they wanted what they had for themselves. So they presumed to go, well, I'll just tell them I'm giving you everything. Bad move. They went beyond the measure of grace they had. They moved into deceit and deception. They were moving in selfishness and self-seeking. It will negate the grace of God. So guard your heart. Hebrews 12, 14 through 16 says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau who sold his own birthright for a single meal. See, we've always looked at this like it's fallen short of the grace of God of salvation. I want you to see that as falling short of the grace of God that's on the inside of you to live victorious, to live in the power, to do and to be everything God created you to be. I don't really think that's about salvation. It could have an implication of salvation, but I really believe that's about, don't fall short of the grace God's already given you. Hebrews 13:9 says, do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. See, feed your heart on grace. Feed your heart on grace. Let your heart be enlarged by grace. Then we have to activate grace. Put a demand on the grace that is on the inside of you. It's already there. Treasure and use that revelation and wisdom that you've received. One of the reasons I challenge you all to keep a journal and write down what you're hearing is it is a way for you to treasure what God's speaking to you. Because I don't know about you, but I can quickly forget things. But you need to treasure. Activate the gift by cultivating your relationships. I've said this to some of you, but I'm going to say it publicly. I want you to reach out to other people in here and say, can we meet and go have a cup of coffee? Don't wait on me to do it. Don't wait on Teresa or Sandra to do it. Don't wait on Beverly to do it. Don't wait on Victor and Mindy to do it or Dave and Terry. It's not that we won't do it, but don't wait on us to do it, and don't just look for it to be just with us. Does that make sense? See, there's a connectivity here that is beautiful, and I believe can be even more beautiful and stronger. Get to know each other. Pursue getting to know each other. Relationships take work. Anybody else discovered that one? They take work. They take time. They take effort. But relationships will smooth off the rough edges. They will help us grow. Cultivate it. And then the final point is step out in faith according to the grace that's been given you. Step out. See, there's grace to fail. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say there's grace to fail? If you don't have grace to fail, you'll never have grace to succeed. So I am saying to you, I give you grace to fail. I give you permission to fail. Y'all are looking at me like, what did she just say? But we learn by our mistakes. We learn by trying something we're not sure we know how to do. And we stumble. And then because we're connected to the body, we get helped back up. And then we walk again and we try again. And the next time you're stronger in the release of your grace, the next time you're not, your knees aren't shaking quite so much. The next time there's a greater flow of that grace that's on the inside of you. The next time you begin to pray something, you're like, I feel like God said this to me. You won't be second guessing yourself. You're just going to pray it. You've got a prophetic word. You're just going to move into it because it's inside of you. Because the grace that is inside of you is greater than you know. So I want us to embrace the grace that God's given. He's giving this house a lot. When I consider the size that we are, the age that we are, we're not even a four-year-old congregation yet, that God has graced us to have the people come in here and sow into our lives that He does, is amazing. The opportunities He gives us week by week by week to partner with other people is amazing. So when God says to me, what are you doing with the gift I've given you? I'm asking us, what are we doing? Not as a rebuke, not at all. I don't hear a rebuke in that. I wouldn't be bringing this message if I felt there was a rebuke in it. I felt like it was a beckoning. I could just see the Father saying, come on, I've given you a lot. There's more. A couple of weeks ago when Teresa and I were in Jacksonville, Dutch Sheets had a prophetic word over me, and Dutch doesn't give a lot of prophetic words. And it was, he gave one to Ken Malone, and then he turned over here to me like this. You know, you kind of, but the word was, you've passed the test, and now you move into phase two. So I've been asking the Lord, what is phase two? And first of all, very grateful we passed the test, because if I pass the test, y'all pass the test. But I've been asking, what is phase two? And what I heard this week was phase two of the continuing building of City Gate Atlanta as a city gate. It's phase two of new opportunities to step and move in the grace that He's given us. It's phase two of opportunities to go, because apostolic means to go. So we've entered into a new phase. We've entered into a new phase to build what God has given us, the strategies and the blueprint for building. And I'm expecting the phase two to include the building. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. I mean, I really am feeling it. I really have. And I say that because y'all have heard me go on and on and on. But I really feel like we've stepped into a new phase. And I know that if God's saying that to me, it's to all of us. So I am challenging us all to acknowledge the grace you've received. It's greater than you know. Activate it, cultivate it, steward it, serve with it. Step out. Step out. On my way over here today, I felt like the Lord said that as I pray over you to activate you in the grace, I'm to activate you to go into the streets. Wherever your street is, whatever your sphere is, and release the grace that's on the inside of you. That you've been trained, you've been equipped, you've been stirred up. You've been given opportunity Now go. See, it's time for what's in us to affect what's out here. I want it to be said, we're making a difference. They don't have to know it's City Gate. I really don't care. But the body of Christ in this city should be activated in grace enough that it can be said, they're making a difference. Making a difference in their city. They're changing the atmosphere. I believe we are, but I'm challenging you to take it to the next level. Activate the grace that's inside of you. Embrace it and move in it. So just stand with me and I'll pray over us. Oh, wait a minute. I was about to do this. Y'all sit back down again. This is an activation. Joan, come on up. Because see, I'm activating the grace that's inside of her.
Well, this is a testimony. This year, I've told a lot of you, but I've got a fabulous performance review at my office. Yes, very good, very good. I was given a 6% pay increase. Yeah. The bonus for this year was 13.5% to 14%. And it all came last Friday. Yay! And, here's my notes. Beverly volunteered me, and Jackie listened when I opened my mouth about it. Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Let's see. Well, our offerings to the Lord is more than money. It's all that we are. And the scripture he gave me is, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. So the offering is not what we've got. It's who we are. It's everything of who we are. And the broken spirit, I call it my foo. My family of origin, my foo was very abusive. And because of that, I had much wounding in my heart and lived in a quagmire. And started working at 18, got out of the house, and have supported myself and my family ever since. So job, business was very important to me. It was the way to get freedom. And let's see. Had lots of jobs from 18 until now is a long time. So big jobs, little jobs, part-time, full-time, and more recently, no jobs with the periods of unemployment. But my most recent period of unemployment, just before the job started, I went to a week of RTF, Pat and Winston. He stirred it up, made me stronger, and I think I've told you that I could not have survived as a project manager at AT&T with my soul in the mess that it was before I went to RTF. Let's see. And after I got the job and was struggling along with it, my mom died. July of 2013. And I knew I was struggling and didn't know what to do. Jackie suggested that I see a counselor. And I've been doing that diligently since. And it's made a great difference in my life. It's not Christian counseling with talking or secular counselor with talking. It's more based on the Elijah House principles. Talk, pray. Get all the garbage cleaned up. Lots of it. And let's see. And then with the RTF and the counseling, then Jackie took us through, how do you say, the demons in your bloodline. So I had lots of demons in both sides, and we're working on them, continuing to work on them. Yeah, I was going to say, my boss that hired me at AT&T, her name was Krista Brown, and I started calling her the KB, the kick butt. So I've been learning how to do some KB. let's see. I also have a good sense of humor. Yeah, let's see. So the Lord, through this all this cycle, through all these resources, the Lord has taken me through healing and cleansing, spirit, soul, and body. And the first scripture, I had this in my notes and I wasn't going to bring it up, but the first scripture, I'd never read the Bible. I was saved at 35, 38, around in there. And the first Bible I read was the NIV in California with Chuck Smith. The scripture that I read and memorized, and it just resonated within my soul. And I, like I said, I took it off, so it's... the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and I think I got it mixed up. But when he said, the verse said, crushed in spirit, and it's like that exact... I was crushed in spirit all of my life and did not know it. Until I read that one verse, 34:18 in Psalms. So, he's fixing it. He's uncrushing. Okay. Let's see. So now that he's uncrushing me, I can be what he really created me to be. And... right now, what he's showing me is I'm a strong, effective professional in the marketplace. So, yay! Let's see. And for summary, submit to the Lord and his process. It hasn't been fun. It hasn't been easy. Would have been easy to cop out, and then I would have been even more miserable. Let's see. And by submitting to his process, he will reward you with more of him. Amen. Yeah. And let's see. And the other thing he's rewarded me with is capturing the identity that he gave me that it didn't know what it was. Yeah, so. Final note, celebrate. Yeah. Oh. I get it. Hey, my celebration had had my first prime rib last night. First ever. And my other celebrate is another week of RTF. I've got the reservations to go up for a week in May.
You see the faithfulness of our God when you follow through with what God says do. And I'm going to say this about Joan. She has given herself day in and day out, day in and day out. And City Gate as a congregation really got rebirthed because of that woman. Because I had just said, I'll just do the training center. And she came to me and she goes, this is the most at home I've ever felt anywhere. Can this be my church home? And the Lord said, you need to hear this. This is what I'm saying. And I said, okay, Lord, we'll do this. But see, she's been faithful every step of the way. To allow God to do his work. And she's been faithful in the giving. See, there's the giving of ourselves to the process, but there's also the giving of the substance of what God has given us. And see, she's seeing direct fruit in her bank account because she's given when it hurt to give. And I know that. I know she gave when she didn't have to give, but God said give, and she gave. You can't outgive our God. You can't do it. So I just want to commend you, Joan. I'm proud of you. You just delight my heart. Oh, goodness. So I want you to just stand, and I'm going to pray over our offering, but I'm also going to release a prayer of activation over you. Father, I thank you for the privilege of giving. I thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you and serving these people. And I thank you, Father, that the grace you have given us is beyond what we really comprehend. But I thank you that you are opening the eyes of our understanding to better comprehend. And Father, even tonight as we give and this week as we go, I charge this people with divine activation of the grace that is within them. That they will move in the supernatural activation of Holy Spirit to be and to do everything that you've called them to. Grace to be creative. Grace to minister to people around them. Grace to see their way through difficult situations. Grace to have strategies of increase. Grace for everything they have need of, because the grace of God was purchased by Christ. I release an activation of grace to move into the "such as I have, I give unto you" movement. You need to grab that one. I release grace, an activation of grace, that we move into this "such as we have, I give unto you" movement. Lord, I release grace of them to recognize opportunities and grace to step out in boldness to release that which you've given us, which is supernaturally abundant. And I release it and pray a blessing over each and every one as they give and as they go, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.